All right, welcome to another Cigar Chat, guys. Rob from Robbie Rez Reviews, your host as always. joining us today, we got Logan there in the freezing bunker, it looks like, with the nice hat going and everything. So, Logan, say hello to everybody. All right, let me get this. What is going on in the background? We've got, it's crazy. So we got Stephen Miller from Wilson Adams Cigars joining us today live from Nicaragua, and he's at the bar and everything's going down. It's crazy out there, so there's going to be a lot of background noise. But Stephen, say hello to everybody.
Hey, how you guys doing?
thanks for taking the time to sit down and meet with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
I'm trying to get this posted up on the site here. It should be good. Let's see. Okay. Sorry about that. So you're live from Nicaragua, and you've been – when did you get down there? You've been down there for a while, right?
I got down on Monday. I usually spend half the year here overseeing production and everything.
Half the year, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Partly because I love Nicaragua.
So are we going to speak Spanish during the show? You speak Spanish fluently?
I understand. Yo entiendo todo.
Well, that's good. I bought it.
Más o menos.
Yeah. Un poco. I'm not kidding, man. I got the Rosetta Stone. I just haven't opened the package yet. I keep putting it under my pillow thinking that it's going to work, but it hasn't happened. So you guys, this is a new line. I mean, these cigars are very new, just came out. I actually had to email you to get the wrapper, binder, and filler information because there's not much information out there online. So give everybody some background on the line itself. We'll get into your background because it goes a little bit deeper than that. But give everybody just kind of an outline of what the cigars bring to the table.
Yeah, on the line, we started working on a blend in February last year. And finally, we released it December in California. It's just a small release. Everything is going good so far. The cigar is a straight medium body. Like, we wanted something with a ton of flavor, not a whole lot of strength, not something that's gonna kind of put you under the table. The focus was on the
flavor profile. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually smoked today. We posted a review today. Moss posted a review. Who I don't know, you guys might be familiar with Moss. He's been writing for us for a while, but he's actually working pretty heavily in Tobacco Barn, and they're kind of quasi sponsoring today's show, and we'll get into that in a little bit as well. But I haven't actually read Moss's review. I was telling Stephen beforehand that I didn't want to influence my own experience. So I had my wife edit the post and put it up. So I haven't read it yet. So I'm curious to see how his experience meshes with mine, or if we just completely had different experiences or not. But one thing I will talk about my experience a little bit. I smoked the Lancero, which apparently is limited. Doesn't really exist. Release.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel very special. Thank you for letting me smoke the personal stash. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm just gonna look down at my notes because I haven't really written it up yet. But I mean, the main thing that I really got from this was a ton of flavor right off the bat. The flavor's really built nicely as the smoke progressed through the first inch or so. A lot of cocoa. A lot of coffee. It really kind of felt like a mocha flavored coffee for me. Some cedar in there as well, and a little bit of spice that built to a not a crescendo, but like a mini crescendo, I guess. And kind of held that medium spot. It was real nice medium smoke. I liked the flavor profile. There's enough sweetness at the beginning. I find that I like a lot of sweetness in my cigars, especially in a medium body like this.
Yeah, that's me too.
And the sweetness was nice. Towards the middle, there was it kind of bounced back and forth between like a, it got like a coffee bitterness in there, which wasn't a bad thing. I felt like it tempered it nicely. Towards the end, the bitterness did kick up a little bit for me. I was smoking it pretty hard though. So, I mean, I went through the Lancero. I didn't really write down how long it took me, but I was out there for at least an hour and a half. But towards the end, I was smoking it pretty good. I really enjoyed it. I know Logan, you, what size did you smoke, Logan? You actually wrote your review, but I haven't posted it yet.
Exactly. Let's let everyone note that, once again, I've done something and can't call me out for not doing it. No, I smoked the Robusto, and I don't have a palate like Rob talking about crescendos and shit. But
that's my vernacular. It's vernacular.
Yeah, your vernacular, your venereal. Well, you know, overall, I think you're right. It was like a medium body smoke. I'm more of a full body guy, so it was a little off there for me. I mean, I think it was a great cigar. I mean, I got a little bit of like woodiness and pepper kind of throughout, but I mean, I smoke, you know, LFD double arrows for breakfast. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a good cigar. It was well built, but not my flavor, but it was good. I'd recommend people to try it, but not my cup of tea, but I'll smoke it, you know.
That background noise is killing me.
Is it bad?
It's pretty loud. Yeah, but that's all right. I mean, we'll power through.
Doesn't seem that bad here.
I think the microphone's just picking it up from all different angles, so it's concentrating it. But it's fine. We'll power through. I mean, that's the price we pay to be international here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, give us a little bit of your background. I mean, we were talking a little bit off air, and I think our background is kind of along the lines of what a lot of our viewers would like to do. So, give us a little
bit.
Yeah,
that was my background was I started working in the cigar industry right when I turned 18, just because I had been smoking cigars for a while, and fell in love with it early, like really early on. Then when I turned 18, I started working for cigar shops, and then just never left it. About a year and a half or 2 years ago, I started a blog as the known as the Cigar Critic. Started coming down to Nicaragua, and after meeting with all the guys, I realized that my real passion was in making the cigars and not write about them, basically.
So how did that first trip down to Nicaragua come about? Was it just, you just said screw it and went down there for a vacation, or?
Well, I had an idea for to write a book about a kind of a coffee table book about the cigar industry. The plan was to go to all the different tobacco growing regions and take pictures and write about the differences between all of them. And then, so I said, screw it. Bought my plane ticket to Nicaragua. Came down here and fell in love with the place as soon as I saw it. And I never made it to any other country.
So the book was short.
Oh yeah, one page.
So you didn't actually write the book?
No, it's still on hold. It may be something that we do in the future, but right now it's all about making the cigars.
So if I steal that idea, are you going to be upset?
Not at all.
Not at all. Done.
As long as you don't steal any of our cigar blends, I don't care.
We'll take some pictures, but I won't. I'll keep everything secret. Yeah, that's. I wasn't able to find the wrapper binder filler info out there online. Others, you emailed it to me. It's an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, and everything else is predominantly Nicaraguan. Correct?
Yeah.
Nice and vague. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get into the weasel portion of the show. We've got a couple samplers we're going to give away, and those, it's going to have every size that the Wilson Adams is available in, including the hard to find Lancero will be included in there as well, which I can tell you is a great smoke. I really enjoyed it. So Logan's going to be in control of that as usual. We've also got. We've got kind of a quasi-sponsor today. It's Tobacco Barn, and Logan, you can put all this in the chat room for him as well. It's their website is tobacco-barn.com. I believe that's your exclusive online retailer, correct?
Yeah, that's the only – they're a brick-and-mortar shop, but they have an online presence. We kind of want to – we want to support the brick-and-mortar guys. So we stuck with them for exclusive online stuff.
Very cool, yeah. And Moss, who you know, was writing for us for a while, is he's working there, and I'm not sure what his his function is there, but I know he's been real busy with it. So it looks like we've got some coupon type deals to offer. If you buy five or more sticks, is this exclusive to Wilson Adams, or is it across the board for anything?
No, exclusive to Wilson Adams.
Okay, so you buy five or more Wilson Adams sticks, you get 20% off. If you buy a box, you get 20% off, and you get two of the A sizes out of your personal humidor.
Yeah.
And the A size, those are the big daddies, right?
Oh, yeah. It's 9 inches by 49, I think.
Jesus.
big cigar.
You gotta book out a week and a half to smoke that thing.
Yeah.
And so that's actually going to be limited to the first 10 boxes. So that's a real, real limited size. And when you're ordering, use the coupon code WA Cigars, and that deal goes for 24 hours. So I'm actually going to post this up on the site as well with a link straight to the site. But Logan, you can get that information to everybody in the chat room.
They can already did, that. Boss.
Cool, appreciate it. So we're going to start taking audience questions here pretty soon. So let's just kind of start. You started right off the bat. How did you get started? How did you get started smoking cigars?
Kind of a funny story. When I was 13,
wow.
My father is a motivational speaker, so he was speaking at a Green Bay Packers a dinner after their training camp. Like me and my best friend, we show up to the dinner, like tag along with my dad and his friend, and we see a box of cigars sitting kind of on the on the entrance to the room. So we both look at each other. We're like, "You think what I'm thinking? Like, let's grab some of these." So we grabbed some, stuffed them in our socks, and went back and smoked them later. And didn't know anything about it, so I ended up biting the entire head off the cigar, smoking it. Terrible experience. But for some reason, it just kind of stuck with me. And I started smoking really when I turned 18, started diving into it, studying about cigars and tobacco and everything.
So when you smoked that first cigar, how many times did you get sick?
Just once.
It's not bad.
The first one once.
Was it the nicotine or the foot jam?
I think it was all the tobacco in my mouth from biting the head off.
So you were chewing and smoking at the same time.
Yeah. I bit all the way to the band. Just ripped the whole thing off. I had no idea what I was doing.
Logan, we'll have to try that one day.
Dude, I'm about to have to do that in India. This shit's going to get rough. 53 days, roughing it. I'm going to smoke a cigar and take a picture in front of the Taj. I'm going to do that for sure. Side note, but continue.
Okay, so that's actually a pretty funny story. I don't think I've – and you were 13?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's impressive, man. That's
yeah.
So you went from, you know, just completely tearing the head off, you know, savage style.
Yeah.
To, I mean, you got more refined as you went on, obviously.
Oh yes.
And then what prompted you to kind of step into the realm of writing reviews?
Really, it was kind of I got tired of sitting in a cigar shop all day every day, like I was there 12, 15 hours a day, and just I wanted to stay in the cigar industry, but I didn't want to be in a shop every day. So I started, I bought the plane ticket, came out to Nicaragua, and then everything kind of fell into place from here. But
yeah, I mean, if you're working in a shop, I mean, you've got a pretty good humidor to pull from as far as varying your palette and things you want to review. So that's it's an interesting. I mean, I'm working with my own stash here, so I know that if you had all the big humidor, that was nice to start with.
Yeah, and the shop I was with, or every shop I was with, I'm known as like the biggest cigar nerd in California. Like I've got my whole right arm is all tattoos dedicated to. See if you can see it.
Oh yeah.
Got Tatuaje, Cohiba, Habanos. Got a little Indian smoking a cigar and like.
So is this copyright infringement?
Possibly. No. They'll have to take my arm to claim it. So.
I mean, that'd be a fucking douche move if they asked you to remove it. That would hurt. That would hurt, I can imagine. Oh, well.
Logan asking the hard-hitting questions.
Hey, I'm just very observant, and I ask the tough questions that are somewhat sarcastic. I do like it, though.
So to get back to the cigar itself, I've got one here. I'm actually going to open it up so you guys can take a look. Take a look at the band there. It's going to white band, gold writing. I like that the logo in the middle, the W and the A. I don't know if you guys can see.
Oh yeah.
That. But that's right there, the W and the A in the middle. So you have a partner, correct?
Yeah, it's Brendan Wilson. He's the Wilson, I'm the Adams, basically.
So how did you guys start working together?
Originally, when I was like probably 7 years ago, he was one of my clients at the cigar shop I was working for. He's a he was in the golf industry at the time, and I'm a golf nut. So as soon as I find out he was running one of the best golf courses around, we started hanging out together. Then I would go play the course. He'd come over to the shop and get cigars. And then he approached me early last year, when he found out I had been going back and forth to Nicaragua and whatnot. He approached me to see if I'd be interested in starting a line with him. And then I said, without thinking, yeah.
Just dove head first in that. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's so from a blending standpoint, I mean, are you blending everything?
Yeah. Me and Brandon are blending everything ourselves.
And now how did you I guess a better question is have you had, and this is kind of a question that we ask sometimes here on the show, have you had anyone in the cigar industry kind of take you under their wing or show you the ropes or work with you in that aspect?
Yeah, we had a few people. The first back in 2005 or something when I got my Tatuaje tattoo, I sent a picture to Pete Johnson, and he sends me a message back. He's like, you are nuts. I have to meet you. Like, come out and hang out at the warehouse. So I went down, hung out with him for a while, and we built a friendship. And I learned, not through him teaching me necessarily directly, but just from sitting, hanging out with him, talking, I kind of learned about brand building and blending. But then when I started coming down to Nicaragua, it was Jose Blanco was like the biggest mentor, if you will. When I started, when I came down here the first time, he sent me a message on Twitter. He's like, "Hey, I hear you're coming to Nicaragua. Come over to the factory." So I go over. Like the whole day, I'm like nervous as hell. Like I'm meeting a legend. Like this guy, I've been following his stuff since like way back in the La Aurora days, since I started smoking, basically, I had been following him. And finally, I go to meet him, show up at the factory thinking I'm just going to sit down and smoke and hang out with him. And he's got like a whole blending seminar set up. Like he started teaching me about all the tobaccos and everything. That's where my real interest in blending started coming about.
So you had, I mean, this is, we actually had Jose on the show back in October, I think. And he talks about, and he does these seminars around, it goes to different places around the world, around the country. And I've heard about the cigars that he has rolled that are, you know, that they have the four or five different sections, and you really learn the flavors and everything as you go through, something I'd love to do. So you basically had, you had that, but just you had your solo experience with him. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Somewhat. Most of it was going through the tobacco rooms. He was having me smell. So he was having me smell all the different tobaccos, and like when you start, like when you smoke a cigar, if you have a decent palate, you start smoking and you pick up certain flavors, and then to have that broken down to like where he was showing me, this is where this flavor comes from, this is where this flavor comes from, and when you're smelling it, you're like, oh, that's what I've been tasting. So he started showing me all kind of the, not the tricks of the trade, but like, gave me a great insight to the business.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome to have someone like that with that much experience and that much knowledge to seek you out, in essence. I mean, like you said, he reached out to you on Twitter, said, I heard you're going to be here, come check us out. I think that's kind of indicative of the industry, for one. It's funny that everybody's competing for the same the same thing. You're competing for shelf space, you're competing for customers. But you know, after 5 o'clock, you know, you clock out and everybody goes and hangs out and everybody's helping everybody else. It's not something that I've really ever seen anywhere else.
Yeah, you don't.
It's an interesting fraternity, if you will.
Oh yeah.
But don't ask Logan about living in the fraternity house. He'll start talking about petri dishes and weird stuff. Staph infections, and it's not good.
I made the pledge to sleep with goats, but I mean, what's wrong with that? That's character building.
That's something.
It's experience.
Exactly. And there are better men for it. That's your ass.
I'm sure. Are we pulling in any audience questions? I know that we've got people there. I can see
them. Dude, I've got like a whole freaking list. You just want me to rapid fire this shit like Jim Cramer, the lightning round?
Well, just go through. Go.
I got like seven.
There, go.
All right. Question uno, rapid fire. How many different factories did you visit before selecting a place to actually source your tobacco from and to roll your cigars?
That is a good question. Before we started the cigar company, I had already visited all the factories. So when we decided to start blending a cigar and working on our brand, I knew Plasencia. They're one of the biggest tobacco growers in the world. They have great tobacco. So I knew that's who I wanted to go with. So that was, like, once we started the brand, that was the first factory we went to and started talking to, and we're sticking with them. They're great.
So you went with the biggest and the best. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Check. Next question. sorry. Next question, rapid fire. So with this kind of freshman or inaugural release, what are you planning on doing with your sophomore release in terms of blend, wrapper, binders, all that good stuff?
That's our next one. We're working on a little bit stronger blend with a Sumatra wrapper. Still going to have that same good sweetness. but yeah, just a little stronger than the original blend.
So is that breaking news? Rob wants to know.
I had a follow-up question, but thank you for cutting me off.
Oh, I'm on mute now.
So it's funny when you see what we've seen actually. Wow, I don't know what that was.
Moped.
Yeah,
it was the biggest moped ever. Oh, go ahead.
No, down here we call them Honda Davidsons.
Davidsons?
They trick out a Honda and put Harley Davidson logos everywhere. And
really?
But awesome. they're 100 cc's.
They do that in India too. I call them Scooty Puffs.
That's good.
You're welcome.
I can't even remember what my question was. Go ahead.
No, Rob. I mean, something super. You said something with the blend, and then it being something keeping the sweetness.
Completely lost it.
All right, so
Scooty Puffers, and I lost it.
Okay. Hey, well, I would get lost in Scooty Puffs too, especially if you saw an Indian dude riding down the street that's like double my size on a pink one. I mean, that shit will change your life. All right, next question. So we've already asked part of this, so I'm going to cut it out. So we've already talked about who's kind of helped you, kind of mentor you, and who your partner is. Who have been any detractors to your dream thus far?
Really, honestly, nobody. Everybody in the cigar industry is supportive of each other. It's like Rob said, it's a big fraternity, basically. Everybody is just trying to move this industry forward. They don't care who you're working for. They want to help you out. It's one of the best industries I've seen.
That's a tough question, because even if there is somebody, you don't want to call them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That Logan guy really just pisses me off, and he keeps me from doing what I want to do, and it's horrible.
If it's true, though, it's a fact.
It can be. It can be. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if I want to after that last comment. But next question. How many iterations do you typically go through until you find your perfect blend?
Oh, a lot. Our first blend, I think it took us 30 or 40 blends, like, or different variations of certain blends, and then we decide not to do that blend at all and scrap it, start over, start doing another one. So it was, 30 or 40 different blends and variations before we found one that we really loved.
So I'm going to jump in. When you say, 30 or 40 different, I mean, you're going through different samples and that kind of thing, and then you decide, hey, we like this aspect of this aspect of this one, and then you've got to go through the rolling process and everything. How long does something like that take?
That's, like I said, it took us total of like 7 months of coming back and forth to Nicaragua. We would come, spend a week, 2 weeks blending, and then take our samples back home, like stuff we thought was promising. Take it back home, let it sit in the humidor, and then smoke it a month later, 2 months later, and then find out what we like, what we don't like about it, and come back and figure out how to change it so we really love it.
I'm just curious, because you say 30 to 40. I mean, that's a lot of different. That's a lot of different iterations. I mean, that's
a lot of smoking.
What's that?
I said a lot of smoking.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the follow up, which from conception to getting to the end product, what's your favorite part?
I like them both, but probably coming up with new stuff is my favorite. Like I love sitting in that blending room all day, going through blends, tasting tobaccos. That's like my dream job.
And that's what you're doing, so that's good.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing now, right? You're down there, you're working on your next blend.
Yeah, we're working on the second blend right now.
All right, go, Logan.
I had a really great follow-up after that one, but now I'm kind of derailed. Ooh, so you're going through, and this is a Logan question that I've always wanted to ask, is that during the test blend process, in the industry that I'm in, I think of it as a pilot. You're trying to figure out what you want to do. Do you have to pay for that tobacco in that time, or do you get the tobacco for free until you find a blend that you're going with, and then obviously you pay for it? Do you know what I mean? Do you have to pay for the test blends?
Yeah, no. When you're a client of theirs, you don't necessarily pay for the test blends, but yeah, we smoke, figure out what we like, and then once we place the order, you obviously pay for the order. You pay for any of the samples that you're bringing back to the States, stuff like that. But when you're there smoking, like, just one or two cigars, no. You don't really pay for it.
I'm sure that all breaks down to your contractual agreement.
Oh, I'm sure.
You're not going to go through and get all your blends set and then go somewhere else and have somebody else blend it and roll it for you. I mean, that's
horrible. You're not going to make 5,000 blends and then...
Yeah, that's true. 5,000 test blends and then burn out. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
Like, yeah, you know what? I don't want this cigar from you.
It's a good way to piss off a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
How long should we let Logan go before he knows that he's muted?
Fuck. I just said something really hilarious, too. I'm just not even going to say it. All right. Next question. Moving on.
We're super professional today, have you noticed?
We are never. I'm wearing a stocking cap, and if you can see, I'm packing up my house. You can see the Christmas snowman bag because I bought a new house, so we're moving. But anyways, off topic. But next question.
Now, this one's a family portrait back there.
Yeah, me, Allie, and Truman, we're all snowmen. That's why I'm wearing this, because I'm cold and I'm melting. All right, so this question is tough, and you don't have to answer. It's tough, hard-hitting journalism. The Wilson Adams have a line of MSRP of roughly $8 to $10, which is slightly higher for the relatively unknown cigar. What do you think about this, and do you think that this perception of being a higher-priced cigar has impacted you?
I don't know. They shouldn't be $8 to $10. Really, our retail is from $6.50 to $8.50. Like $6.50 for a Robusto and Corona Gorda, then up to $8.50 for a 6.5 by 56. So I don't.
Well, we cleared that up.
Yeah, I don't know where they're selling $8 to $10, but
terrible question, Matt. Get your facts straight.
Well, I'm looking. If I pulled up, I'm looking at TobaccoBarn.com right now, and the Robustos are $7.50.
Mm-hmm.
Corona Gorda is $7.50. The Toro is $8.50, and the number 5A Big, which is 6.5 by 56, that's $9.
Yeah, that's more in the kind of in the wheelhouse, but.
Yeah, that's a big cigar too, 6.5 by 50.
Yeah.
So it's slightly lower than that.
All right, we'll chalk that up to a bad question. Moving on. Man, there's just all types of questions. I'm trying to get them all in here. Ooh, this is a good one. As someone who's worked in a B&M before, what about the industry landscape made you feel like you would be successful? There also seems to be a lot of brand lines out there in the market now. What makes you think you're going to be successful considering the current industry pace of new releases?
That is a pretty good question. For me, like, we take the time to, like I said earlier, I've lived down here basically, and quality control is such a huge issue. With private labels, even if it doesn't matter who you're with, like quality control is always an issue. Making sure it's exactly what you want, So we, like, we take the time to come down here, and I live here 7 months out of the year, and taste every single batch of cigars we make. So I know every cigar that I'm like that we're selling is exactly what we want. And if it doesn't work, I'll smoke all of them. Because I love the cigar.
So I think what I'm taking from what you said, and this is one thing that I feel like I say this every week, because we tend to focus more on boutique and smaller blends, that quality control is something that, it's like you said, it's an issue. If you have a larger factory, you're banging out 7-8 million cigars a year. You're going to produce some stinkers. It's just going to happen. But when you get into the smaller brands like yourself, and like you said, you're down there 7 months out of the year. The level of dedication, I don't want to say it's a higher level of dedication, but you've got more on the line than someone who's banging out 7 or 8 cigars a year.
Yes.
So it's in your best interest to be there and to focus on that kind of thing. And as the consumer, we kind of, I almost take it for granted that when I'm smoking a boutique cigar or a smaller blend or smaller brand, I don't have problems. I don't have burn problems. I don't have plug problems. And it's like, it's, I don't know. I guess in a way it's, I'm praising what you and what smaller labels do by having that hands-on approach, because I, as the end user, don't speak streams.
Yeah.
So, and I think a kind of a follow-up question to what Logan had asked, what for me would be, with the blend that you guys are using, you know, it's a medium body, and I feel like just about anybody could smoke the cigar. It could, you know, it's going to be appealing. There's enough flavor and complexity to appeal to someone who's been smoking for years and has a great palate, but it's easy enough to understand, I think, for a smoker who doesn't have a great palate and just is going to be impressed by the flavor. And it's not strong enough to make anybody, you know, woozy. So do you feel that the cigar that you guys have produced fills a niche in the market that potentially hasn't been filled before or isn't currently being filled?
Could be. Time will tell on that.
That was how I interpreted that last question. Okay, anyway, moving on. Logan's got a question now.
And this is from Logan. It's going to be great. So, first of all, this cigar is kind of, you know, medium body, but you've been smoking cigars, I mean, since you bit the cap off like a Neanderthal when you were 13. I don't know how old you are now, but those have been some years. Typically, you know, as I started with, you know, Macanudo and all very mild-bodied stuff, but as I've went on, you know, I smoke Double Ojero Chisels for breakfast. So with your palate, typically you go up in strength and body as you go up. Why do you love this cigar so much? Did you get my question? I know.
Actually, I did the opposite. You started breaking up.
Okay, you're good.
Yeah, we like when I first started working in the cigar industry, I would drive to work in the morning smoking a late Nicaragua Machito, like a really strong cigar, and I would only smoke strong smokes, and then I got tired of getting my ass kicked every time I smoked a cigar. So like when we started blending, I had already started getting into more medium-bodied smokes with a lot of flavor. I think it's a lot more enjoyable to smoke a cigar, love the flavor, not get your ass kicked, and then be able to smoke another one right after. I always liken smoking really strong cigars to taking shots.
Good way to put it.
Like a medium-bodied cigar is like drinking a glass of wine or drinking a beer. You can do it all night, not have a problem. But a strong cigar is like taking shots, and you take too many shots and you're done. Or you're just you don't want to see a cigar for days.
That's a good analogy. I like that. It's I think your cigar smoking path is very similar to mine. When I started smoking, I was smoking the full bodied stuff. I can't really think of what it was, and I was smoking when I started, but it was the full bodied stuff. And now I'm more in the, like you said, the full flavor medium body range is where I tend to like. Logan calls me Old Man River because of that, but I still like to have a scotch every now and again, but I sip it. I'm not shooting it, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Like that's a good analogy.
Us Irish descendants just do things different, I guess.
Say that again.
I said us Irish descendants just do things a little bit different than you yuppies do, I guess.
It's a regional thing. We're California guys.
I don't know. You know, tomato, tomato. All right, next question. There's a lot more. So how much money do you spend on time and or advertising? Is it mostly word of mouth, social networks, or personal visits? You don't have to say a dollar amount. You can just say whatever you want because that's personal.
Yeah, no, most of it right now is traveling in between Nicaragua and California. But all of our advertising so far has been all social media. So that's free, so it's nice.
Like this.
Yeah.
Well, it is going to cost you 2 sampler packs, but that's not too bad.
Freedom isn't free. It costs $1.05. If anybody would watch Team America, they would know that. Man, I'm just full of one-liners tonight. Ooh, this is a great one. Since there are a lot of new companies, much like yourself, with new blends out there, how would you define success for your company?
That is a good question. Every day that we're able to continue blending, coming out to Nicaragua, selling our cigars, I consider that a success. Like every day I get to walk into a shop and see people smoking my stuff, that's successful to me.
A good answer.
It is a good answer.
Thank
oh,
you.
Man.
Yeah,
it is good. Yes. Oh, man.
The audience has fired away tough questions today.
Dude, yeah. I'm actually doing it now where I'm taking not a screenshot, but copying them down so I can actually remember them. And now I realize that people do ask some pretty good questions. I probably give them too hard of a time. Here's a good one. So you've started a cigar line. No business, no startup business comes without risks. How stable do you feel your endeavor is? I know you have to have faith if you're willing to do a startup, but I'm just curious if you feel that this is a stable endeavor versus, say, starting a restaurant.
I would say it's safe for the restaurant. Like my parents were in, they had a cafe when I was a kid. And seeing the heartache and everything they had to go through with that, I would never do that. So in that sense, this is a lot safer than a restaurant.
Yeah, restaurant business is tough.
Yeah,
that's true. Ooh, another question: what blends do you feel in? What other cigars or blends do you think influenced your choice to model the initial Wilson Adams after? What influenced it?
It was kind of everything that I grew up smoking, kind of they all played a part in the initial blend. Like everything from back in the day with Oida Nicaragua, smoking those, to Tatuaje, La Aurora I love. Everything played a part in my palate, basically.
So we tend to ask this question a lot, and I'm curious to see what your answer is going to be. And I know that you do particularly like your blend. What else are you smoking?
I still smoke a lot of Tatuai products. The new L'Atelier line. Mm-hmm. They're making some great stuff with that. Still smoke every once in a while, like the La Aurora 107. I love that cigar. And then now they release the Cienaños again. It's a nice smoke.
Have you tried the Maduro?
No.
I keep seeing it. I haven't tried it yet. Just curious, because sometimes we ask that question and we get the answer that you guys only smoke your own stuff, and I don't buy it. So that's why we tend to go with that question. But I'm just curious.
No, really, it's kind of ridiculous to only smoke your own stuff, because you have no reference for what the market's going for.
So, I mean, you are inherently
going to smoke everybody's stuff,
and you're inherently going to spend a lot of time smoking your own stuff. Like you said, you went through 40 blends to get to where you are. So I get that, but there's always new stuff out there that people can learn from. And the follow up to that is, and this we actually had somebody say this, and I can't remember who it was. When you smoke someone else's stuff, do you feel like you approach it differently now that you are producing your own cigar?
Not really. I still, the only difference is like I try to pick out every tobacco that's in that cigar. Like I try to figure out the exact blend. But other than that, so I still, when I smoke other people's stuff, I'm smoking as a cigar fan, not as a maker.
So, are you good at picking out all the tobaccos in it?
Pretty decent. Yeah.
So if I sent you some unbanded stuff, didn't tell you what the hell it was, you could tell me what it was.
As long as you're not using some off the wall like Kentucky tobacco, then yeah, I can pretty much pick it up.
I think that'll be a fun show. We should do that.
That would be a fun show.
I think that would be fun. We'll put you on the spot. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anytime.
That's good. I like that. All right, Logan, go ahead.
All right. Next question. So I was begged to ask this question. Apparently there's going to be a faction of people down there in Nicaragua April 14th to the 17th. They want to know if you're going to be around and can they come hang out? So think wisely before you answer that. They could all be like douchebags. We don't know.
April, I don't know. I'm going to be here. I know I'm going to be here through the through the cigar festival in March, like early March. I might be back in California in April.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that information I'd want to give out. You don't know who these people are.
But exactly. Anybody that takes the time to come to Esteli, I'm more than happy to show them the real Esteli, because I'm an honorary what they call here Pinolero, I'm an honorary Nicaraguan.
I don't know why that sounds like a scene out of a movie. You show them the real Esteli, I don't know what happens in the real Esteli. I might have to come check it out.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got, Logan?
They're still coming. They're not stopping. This is a good one. How do you feel that the emergence of either wide, bigger ring gauges and smaller ring gauges, what do you feel about that in general? And how do you feel, and how does the bigger and or smaller ring gauges affect the flavor of a cigar?
I've never been a huge fan of bigger ring gauges. It's for me, when you get into the 60s, and now I think someone's making an 8x80, and it's just it burns cooler, so you get a little smoother flavor, but it's just I can't handle that size. So for me, I'd rather have a nice 42, 44 ring gauge cigar. That's it's the flavor is so much more concentrated that you get a really nice smoking experience for me.
I think I agree. Those big honkers. No.
I can see you smoking an 8x80, Logan.
I can see you smoking an 8x80. Sure.
What? Now, when you said it, it sounded dirty.
I know, and that's the way you said it, you condescending bastard.
Well, no, I could see you smoking the big thing.
That sounds even worse.
Let's move on.
If G was in the chat, his head would have exploded.
Yeah, where is he? He hasn't been around lately.
That's all right. Anyways, moving on. Ooh, great question. How much does the cost of tobacco actually drive the blend? Is that, and if the cost of tobacco is like a major flavor or a major factor, how much does marketing and other things for other companies factor into the price?
That's a tough one. We never really think about it. Like we never think about the cost of the tobaccos we're choosing when we're blending cigars. It's all about the flavor. You just have to work with whatever the cost is.
I can see where that, if you go with, you're going into it and say, this is the blend that we want, and it turns out to be just astronomically high priced, I mean, I don't know if that would, then all of a sudden it becomes maybe a limited release, you know, produce as many or something like that. I could see it impacting that way. But, yeah, to go into it, pigeonholing yourself into, well, we can only spend this much on any particular tobacco. I could see that that would cause some problems.
Yeah.
Next question: when is the Lancero going to be in regular production?
We are making the Lancero right now, so. Probably in, I would say March or April.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I would have said, hold your horses, what I would have said.
March or April. I'm going to put that on my calendar. I'm going to need at least 5 of those. Set aside.
You didn't send me one. I didn't get a Lancero.
Put a little bundle aside, and we'll work something out, because that Lancero is nice. I haven't compared it against any of the other sizes yet, but it looks a real nice smoke for me.
I will say the Corona Gorda is much better than the Robusto sizing. It's much sweeter. It's good. I bet you the Lancero is good, but I didn't get one. It's okay. Send it to Rob, not me. Whatever.
Lo siento.
That means my
I'm
fault.
Sorry.
Oh,
that means F you.
No, that means I'm sorry.
You should have said me scoozy. That's how I speak. Me scoozy. No, it's all right, dude. All right, here we go. Next question, just rapid firing. What is the most challenging thing about being a new player in the cigar industry? Unless we haven't already covered that, which I don't think we have.
The most challenging is just getting your name out. Really, that's been the most challenging process, or most challenging part of the whole process. It's getting your name out, like getting everybody to try the cigars.
Oh, hold on. All right, perfect. Yeah, so I was going to ask, I don't know if we've covered this is a Logan question. Well, we know you're selling through Tobacco Barn. What are the plans to, you know, expand, you know, distribution? And are you planning on doing that and hiring reps or using someone to distribute them for you? What's the plan there?
Well, the plan, as always, is to get as far of a reach as you can. But right now, the initial shipment, We opened in California. Opened up only shops in Southern California, basically. And the next shipment's a little bigger, so we'll be able to open some other guys.
Okay, got it. This is another great question. So other than yourself, who is the coolest person in the cigar industry?
Coolest person?
Yeah.
Pete Johnson.
I figured that'd be your
He's awesome. Any guy that'll let a cigar nerd come out and hang out at his factory all day, like anytime he wants, is a pretty cool guy.
True. Agreed.
It is the tattoos that bind you.
It is.
That's when I walk into the factory or into the warehouse in LA, I knock on the door and just do this. Like, I just show the Tatuaje tattoo.
It's like your employee badge. It's like a swipe card. You just bam, and then let you in. That's good to know.
I had a guy stop me down here yesterday. He came up and started sitting at my table. He's talking to me for a while. He's smoking a cigar. So I'm talking to him, and he's like, hey, he's like, I'm smoking a Skull Crusher right now. I'm like, oh, man, that's great. And then he's looking at me. But do you work for Tatuaje? I'm like, no. No, I don't work for them. So he saw the tattoo and figured I worked for them. So he was telling me that he's smoking one of our cigars or one of their cigars. Thinking I'm gonna get super enthusiastic.
Pumped about it. How many people have thought you were Pete Johnson because of the tattoo?
Nobody.
Okay, well.
He has a lot more tattoos than I do.
I can see how awkward that conversation was. The guy sits down and he says, I'm smoking this. And you're like, great. That's awesome, man. Enjoy. That's funny. Sorry, go ahead.
All right. This is a last question, and we're about ready to run out of time, it looks like. I've got a few here. Here we go. So, what are your thoughts about the rumors of the Cuban embargo possibly ending? How do you think that would affect your business?
I don't see it affecting too much. Like, there'll be an influx in the States of people trying Cuban cigars. But I really, honestly, I think once they try them, they're going to realize that right now, Nicaraguan cigar industry for me is so far above what the Cubans are doing.
Agreed.
Like I'm such a fan of Nicaraguan tobacco. I would never smoke, or I'd never go back to Cuban cigars.
I would agree. I think it's the allure of them, people just because you can't get them. And I'm wondering how many people are going to be like, man, Cubans are legal now. I can go get stoned, all the pot rolled inside of them, because that's what Castro smokes. That's what everybody thinks. I'm telling you, it's going to be a hit. That's what I would do. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
What?
That's what everybody says. I'm serious. That's a rumor mill. And then JFK, too, you know, his whatever. All right, I'm done now. All right, Rob, talk about the giveaway. I'm going to pick two random people.
Okay, yeah, we're doing – you talk about it. You're doing it.
I don't know. You talk about it. You do a better job. Tell them what we're giving away.
All right, so we've got two sample packs. It's every size that the Wilson Adams produces. It does not include the A size, though, correct? No A size. So it's all the standard sizes plus the pre-release. We'll call it pre-release Lancero. We're giving away two packs, and Logan, are we doing a random number thing here?
We are. Pick two numbers, one between 1 and 32.
All right, Steven, that's you.
That's all you, buddy.
Oh, 2?
Yeah.
You said two numbers, right?
Two numbers. Between 1 and 32.
Let's say 2 and 27.
2 and 27.
No 7. That's a first.
Usually it's 7 or like 13 or 19. So congrats Travel Man Rock and Bostard, best name ever. You just won. You just won. He won last week or the week before.
Mr.
Good job, you two weasels.
So yeah, make sure they email me. We'll get all the information out, and I'll get that to Steven. And once he gets back to the country here, he'll set you guys up. What are you firing up now?
It's actually a cigar from my buddy. He's the grandson of Alejandro Albino. So he's got a great tobacco heritage. But yeah, I smoke his cigars every now and then while I'm down here.
It looks big.
Oh, it's a Lonsdale.
Oh, okay. I guess the camera angle was misleading.
How many cigars do you smoke a day? I'm curious.
Anywhere from 5 to 12.
Okay, 5 to 12?
Yeah.
You got me beat.
Most of the time it's 8 to 10 a day.
That's a heavy hitter.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Ron will do one a week. Maybe. He's lucky.
Easy there, chickadee. wow, 5 to 12. That's impressive.
It's like when I'm down here, I find myself smoking so much that I'll it's easy for me to smoke 12 down here, because when I wake up in the morning, I light a cigar and I don't put one out until I lay back down a bit.
That doesn't sound too bad, though. I mean, I could live with that.
I think I could do that. Ooh, another question. Are you going to be at IPCPR this year, since you're new? I'm assuming you are.
Yeah. Right now, it's looking like we will be.
Good. That's good. Yeah. So the Triple R crew is going to be in full effect, as the kids say. We'll be there to snag some of those Lanceros from you.
No, weaseling in full effect. Don't underestimate me.
Logan is the king weasel.
I am, but I'm shifty. I'm shifty, though, about it. But I know I'm not going to say I give as much as I receive, because that doesn't sound good. But I am generous with my cigar stash.
Okay, moving on from there. So just before we wrap up, because we're at about the hour limit, just a reminder, Tobacco Barn is, today's quasi-sponsor. It's tobacco-barn.com. You go in there, you pick up 5 or more Wilson Adams cigars, you get 20% off. If you buy a box, you get 20% off plus 2 of the big Mama Jammas, the A size, and that's limited to the first 10 boxes. So when you go there, you order online, the coupon code is WA Cigars. Tobacco-barn, and they'll take care of you. So, Stephen, before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you on, Twitter and Facebook, and I know you're on Instagram and all that.
Yeah, it's Twitter and Facebook are both the same. It's at WA Cigars. Actually, Instagram's the same thing. Any information they need, it's info@wacigars.com. You can email us. We'll set them up.
Set them up with the trip of to the real Esteli. I like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's at WA Cigars pretty much everywhere, and they can track you down. So Stephen, we appreciate you taking the time. Coming to us internationally.
Yeah,
and I know it's been rough for you sitting in the bar cigars and chatting with us, but we appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, it was fun.
We appreciate it. So, thanks again, and thanks for doing the giveaways. We appreciate that, and I'll get that information to you. Thanks, guys, for coming to check out another Cigar Chat. We appreciate all the support. It's Rob at RobbieRazReviews.com. You can find me on Twitter. It's at RobbieRaz. Logan is at Logan at Dell, Corporate Monkey. What are we doing next week? Logan's going to be on location. We're going to be international for the next few months.
Next 2 months.
So in we'll India. Logan's going to be in India. So we're actually going to be starting the show an hour later. For the next few months. So we'll be starting at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern. And I think we're actually on Tuesday next week. We've got
Ray's family. We are. And I'm going to be real jet lagged. So it's going to be real fun.
It's going to be awesome. So we have to blow the show up. And so Logan just gets befuddled and starts cursing.
That's probably
going to be a lot of fun.
No
so next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll have Reyes Family Cigars. So again, thanks guys for all the support. We appreciate it. Go ahead.
I just got a text. I said at wacigars.com. It's the for email. It's info at wilsonadamscigars.com.
Okay. Info.
Take the full name. Yeah.
Info at wilsonadamscigars.com. And that's at wilsonadamscigars.com is your website, but you guys are still under construction there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So at Wilson Adams or info at wilsonadams.com for the trip to the Real Esteli. He'll tell you all about it. cool. Thanks, Stephen. We appreciate it, man. Have a good night and enjoy the rest of your trip. And safe travels, man.
Later on, everyone.
All right. Have a good night.
Good night, guys.
Cheers.